Hello, everyone. John Aldridge here with episode 11 of Aldo Meets in conjunction with the Hotel Anfield. Peter Schrivenhausenweisen and James Pearce from The Athletic and my old mate. I'd like to welcome John Achterberg, yes, along with the great LFC players we've had and we're going to have in the future, has joined us. So I'm absolutely delighted to see you, mate. Good. As always.
Yes.
Right, what's happened? End of the season was like 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
I've been doing some coaching camps for the first 3 weeks straight after. Before, I had a few days in Ibiza with my wife, but then I had 3 weeks coaching camps. Norway, Finland, and USA. So coaching boys, girls, and
I thought you might have gone to Magaluf like we used to go with Tranmere at the end of the season.
No, I couldn't cope with that.
You might meet Jürgen and Peter there as well.
Yeah, also,
far off.
No, you look like you've been away. I mean, wow, I'm a bit jealous.
Yeah, but it's just hot out there, so working in the sunshine is nice.
Have you come to terms now with obviously the tenor and then at Anfield, looking forward to a new future now?
Yeah, it's a big change, but a new challenge. So I enjoy working with goalies. So, you know, try to create new goalies. And I think that's what I want to do, really. I always wanted to do something outside the UK anyway. You know, I would work anywhere, US, Thailand, whatever. Yeah. So obviously this came up and I think it's a good project. I try to set up, well, I need to discuss it, but I want to set up like a goalkeeping school 12 to 18. So you try to implement the technical and the tactical side. So to try to raise the level really. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, we need to win games. So you need to find a goalie and hopefully get two or three young goalies or experienced goalies who can do the job behind it, but they have to be Saudi. So I looked at all the leagues in the highest and the second league to find goalies and what can maybe help us or not and pass it on and see what they can get of that. And
you certainly got the experience when you think about the influence you had on bringing Alisson to the club. Obviously, you spotted him from an early day, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, you know, also learning when I came actually to the club. Camoli said to me, like, it was still videotapes. He gave me 5 videotapes.
Like VHS.
Yeah.
So you only see the best part of the goal. You don't see them, making flops or doing the carriers, in a cup final.
Yeah, so that, then, you know, and the goalie he gave me to watch was France. And I said, he's not good enough for us because too many mistakes, and this, and this. And from that moment, I thought, if I work for Liverpool, I need to know every goalkeeper in the world because, best club in the world need to find the best goalies. So then I start basically watching every league, really, and every tournament and try to be updated with everything around them. Yeah, how it works a bit.
So would you take the work home with you as well?
I was non-stop.
Because that's how it would get you.
But in my first year, I was doing the academy and that was 7 days a week anyway. Mm. So when I was there 7 days and then I moved the year after to the first team. Some give me the show because Roy was coming and they had no goalie coach. So I started there, but I still did the academy. So it was like 8 in the morning till 8
in
the night.
So you did the both then?
Yeah, I did that for 3 years. But then I come home and I had to fucking watch games to find goalies as well. So to be honest, when Roy wanted looking for a number 2 goalie, I said, we need to take Thomas Sørensen, because he is experienced, Danish international. Yeah. That's the level I was looking at. Yeah. And obviously, Mike Ellie decided Brad Jones. And obviously, and that's how it went. And from that moment, I was looking nonstop in the house. And But yeah, I enjoyed it as well. And you know, and yeah, then you could say what you want. And my first goalie, I said to Camoli, I said, yeah, Neuer is at Schalke. I think he will be good for us. Yeah. But then he said, yeah, he's going to Bayern. And then the second one I said is Handanovic, he's at Udinese. And then he said, no, I don't like it. I said, well, I watched him. He played against Ireland and you know, and it's physical, you know, he dealt well with it. He's a good shot stopper, good size. And then he went to Inter Milan, obviously.
Was that why Camoli left?
No, I, you know.
Good job as well he did, by the way. There's mistakes there. They're two major mistakes, aren't they, really, when you think about it? You know, in my opinion, you know, you got to back up your staff. Yeah. You know, trust them.
Yeah, but I don't know, because I said this kind of things, but if there's no budget for it, then obviously
the budget side, that's the
other side to it, no? Because, you know, we always have to find a creative as a number two goalie. You have to find a free goalie because they don't want to buy a goalie. Yeah. So that's how we always try to do it. So every time I was looking, okay, who is out this year, who's out next year as well, and then looking to find out. And then I tell them, oh, you need to try and get this one or that one, because you need to line them up early enough that you want them if you want a free one. So we try Neto, but we went too late. You know, I told them like already early that Neto is such Fiorentina play in Europe, and you know, he would be free. And I think we went in January out there, but then he already signed for Juventus, so we were too late really for that kind of things. And
a couple of good goalies in the Euros though, right? I mean, I don't know, I'm sure you will know about them, but for us, the Georgia goalkeeper has kept them in the tournament, and then the Turkish goalie as well, if you've seen the save last minute, that was incredible.
And obviously Portuguese keeper, the three penalty saves, that they were top draw.
Yeah.
You know, but seeing them early.
Who would you with your scouting hat on, which by the way, I don't think a lot of Liverpool supporters are aware.
I like
that's what you did as well. Absolutely. Not just like make them better, but you actually that you know all the goalies in the world.
But also the new goalkeeper coach that comes in, will he take over that role as well with regards to what you had at your disposal, like to look at the keepers and give you, he's got to have an input on certain keepers round.
I'm not sure what they're planning. I always did it, and you know, I made a list and give the list to the boss and to them.
But also, you know, this tells you when whilst John was the goalkeeping coach and Jurgen, obviously, where we were, and only for Man City, which I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, what do you want. We'd have had so many more, but for the team to be as good as what we have been, what John's just told us, all the staff's got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I know it works. You know, to say in the game, go back to Tranmere, there, it's 24/7. And you look what Jurgen said and all his staff and about the staff in it and John, it's non-stop. You put your heart and soul, and sometimes your family takes a second. The second seat.
I can say that
shows you what John is telling us now.
Yeah.
To be good, and for the team to be good, and the club to be good, your staff had to be 1,000,000%, not 100%, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
And that tells you.
Yeah. John, after 15 years of your life at Liverpool, so how emotional and difficult was it saying goodbye? And in particular, what did that guard of honour at Anfield on the final day mean to you?
Oh, yeah, it was very emotional, really. Because it's a big part of my life, no? So get already emotional now. But you know, obviously, you know, it's coming and stuff. And, you know, you met so many good people and friends and stuff. But, you know, my passion is goalies, and it's always was like that. So, but, you know, when the boss announced it, you know, I was straight away thought, okay, and then my contract is finished. I need to start looking, because I cannot wait till the last day, basically. And that's what I did, really. And pretty quick, I obviously had this. But then obviously you have to deal a little bit with the family and his side as well and stuff. And, you know, I said, yeah. We cannot wait till the last day as well and hope that we have a contract or not. So, you know, I'm fine with it. And yeah, then obviously the last day is, you know, I could not face the, I walked in the stadium, I was crying basically. And then when I had to walk out, I couldn't face anyone. I had to walk down with my face because I didn't want to be emotional really. And I managed that then the second part better really. But you know, yeah, it's been big part of the, our lives really, and my life really. Obviously, you will miss it for sure. And yeah, it was a dream job as well, you know. And, and people say sometimes you, oh, you must have a day that you don't want to go in. I never had that, but I also never had it as a player. You know, if I had a shit game, I wanted to be back in the next day to put it right. And if we lose with Liverpool, then the next day you want to be there to work back again on it, you know. And you know, yeah, I'm not really one who look really back too much, but you know, people say, oh, this and that. I say, yeah, you know, it's past really.
You know, yeah, you see the emotion forward in your eyes, but it's like a marriage. You know, your marriage has ended. It is, because it's
yeah,
it's really
true.
Tough. It's really tough. But now, obviously, that's gone, and the future of the club. You know, one of your fellow countrymen, slots coming into managers. What do you know of him? What about his reputation? Do you know much? Or
his reputation in Holland is pretty good. Obviously, he did really well with AZ, with Feyenoord, you know, with not a lot budget, if you like, but the way he plays, I think that for sure suits Liverpool. I think he probably likes to combine a bit more than we were, like, pretty much sometimes also quick on the counter and break. Yeah. He likes to combine a bit more, but he likes the high intensity and closing down. And
when you say combine, John, what?
More like Pep playing around the box, things like that. So
like City do a little
bit more. Yeah, a little bit more football stuff. But, you know, one or two people said he is the most exciting coach in the last 30 years in Holland, so that's a positive.
And they've had some great coaches over
there. Yeah, so I think tactical, he seems to be a good coach, and obviously he's hands-on, he's on the field, so on that side I'm positive.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously Feyenoord and Liverpool is a different level, so that is the only thing what he has to adapt to, I guess, because you cannot compare Liverpool with any club in the world, really.
Otto, do you know much about him?
The new goalkeeping
coach?
Not a lot. That obviously, you know, you see sometimes things on the internet and stuff, and he's a young guy, so he's energetic, which is good. Not much experience, but, you know, Tafarel is there, so he will help him with that.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah.
And in terms of your next challenge, going to Saudi Arabia to be part of Steven Gerrard's staff, obviously someone you knew, know well, what was the decision behind deciding to take that on? Was a big part of it working with Steven, or what was it?
Yeah, no, I always get on with Stevie over the years. You know, I always spoke to the people. I know Jordan. And most of the staff working there.
Because Genie's out there as well, isn't
he? Genie's out there. But you know, they wanted me to create a new goalkeeping setup, if you like.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, I like to do that. That's my idea as well, to, you know, to develop young goalies, try to create, if I can create Saudi goalkeeper. So, it's completely different, but I know that I can make from nothing someone move as a goalkeeper, if you like. So try to find the right profile will be one thing I will look for. And then try to create the level in Saudi to a higher level. But obviously, we need also a new goalie and try to help them to find a new goalie. I look to all the leagues, what goalies could work for us. Obviously, they want to play football from the back as well and stuff. And yeah, I always want to create the full package goalkeeper, because I think, you know, I'm a fan of all-round goalkeepers playing with the feet, but also can making saves, because for me, making match-winning saves, that is your job. You know, playing with the feet is second, but keep the ball at the net is still number one, because that can win you a game. You know, you can be the best player with your feet, but if you can't fucking make a save, can't win the game. That's how simple it is.
100%,
no? But there's quite a few coaches, they losing that balance a little bit. A lot of goalkeeping coaches, and some are on a higher level as well. And I think you're wrong. You should know that making a save is really important, you know, and playing with the feet, because if you can play with the feet, you know, how many teams you can play for? Liverpool, if you can play well with your feet, City, Arsenal. But a lot of teams, you know, Chelsea, 90% of the time kick the first ball long. No, check, could not play with his feet, but they used him well, because he's good on crosses, shot stopping, 1v1. So find the balance. But I like to teach everything, because you can play for every team. That's how I want to keep coach keepers, because if I teach them everything, they can play for every team, and they can play for Burnley, and they can play for Liverpool. And yeah, the level depends on your, how many mistakes you make, and how you're good overall.
That's a good show. It's making the right decisions at the right time with your feet. Putting yourself under undue pressure
That's
and then getting mixed up, isn't it?
And before we move into the second part of the podcast, talking a little bit more chronologically about your time in Liverpool, how do you feel about the quality of the goalkeeper department that you left behind at Liverpool? I just felt we sort of skipped that bit a bit, and I feel that closes off your departure from Liverpool in a positive way, I feel. But let's see what you think.
Aldo can give a more fair opinion than me. I think they probably have one of the best, if not the best, goalkeeping squad they probably had. You know, if you have a number one and number two who can play like that, it's crazy, I think. You know, because Keller, what he can
quality.
Do. You know, and it's actually crazy that he was not the number one for Ireland yet, but I get that if the other one is playing more, but he is all round. Speed reaction is unreal, and playing left foot, right foot is, you know, hopefully he can continue that side as well. And, you know, and Ali, obviously, you know, it's probably the best in the world. It's clear, no? I can't see anyone better at this present time. Neuer was for a long time that number one. And I think this period, Ali has been that. And I thought it was really disrespectful that he was not in the shout on the top goalkeepers from the FIFA in the top nine. It doesn't matter if Liverpool play well or not that year.
He was left out of the top 10.
Up out of the top 10. And
that's meant to be fair. I can't even tell you when the first 10
are. Assumes FIFA up there.
Yeah.
They probably had a bet on it as
well. Yeah, but you know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Thank you, mate. Yeah,
but you would think that there is someone involved who has a clue about goalkeepers, no? And if he is not in there, then you have no clue about goalkeepers.
That makes it farcical.
Yeah, exactly.
And it sums up what they actually know.
Yeah,
to go hand in hand with that, you know, the best, to have the best goalkeeper in the world. Look, we can be biased, but we think it's right.
Yeah.
To have the best second goalkeeper, possibly in England anyway.
Yeah.
There's no what he's done, that lad, when he's played,
made
very few mistakes. Look at them saves in the final against Chelsea. Unbelievable. Some of the saves he pulls off, unbelievable. With his feet, he's obviously played Gaelic when he was young. He plays sense. He played out. And then for you, and Jürgen, you know, we've talked about this many times, it must be so. I'm speaking from an artist's perspective as well here, you know, to get the balance, to get it right for that lad. Because I want him to be Liverpool for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
But you look. And it's horrible because he
should
be
realistic,
is it? He should be in a top team.
But look,
we're all selfish because I don't want him to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then you think, you know, you bite the bullet. But how can you replace him?
Yeah.
Again, as a second keeper, and John will come in here, he's probably irreplaceable unless you get one of the top goalkeepers who's coming towards the end of his career that can fill in.
That's not going to be easy because, you know, if you know what you have, and then you need to find someone. And if they would go down the road how they always do it, like on a free transfers, I can tell you now, this year there will be not one there now to get. You know, you need to get also someone with experience probably who can play Champions League, because you need two good goalies if you want to win something, for sure.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I actually told Keller already before he started playing, I said, you know, it's crazy, but you're so good. I tell you now, you're better than De Gea, and he's playing every week at Man United. But yeah, you need to get this chance to play, you know. But, you know, hopefully he keep proving me that as well. Yeah. Like, and he is really humble and calm. I think that from my experience, that's a good thing. Like, you know, that you as a goalkeeper also have to be pretty calm in your mind and stuff, and both are really down to earth and calm.
He's like James Bond, isn't he? So he's too calm.
Yeah. Sometimes he's too calm. He can be a little bit more with communication. He can be
improving.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Anyway, that's the first part of our Geldo podcast. That went very quick, actually. It was really, really good with the Peter Shreves, man. James Pearce, I'm your mucker, John Ackerby. Hi everyone, it's the second part of the Aldo podcast, and Peter's been dying to ask John a question.
Yeah, because in the break just now we were discussing something quite technical about goalkeepers, which to be honest, again, I don't think normal fans would really think about
it. It's really interesting.
But we talked about your kind of favorite type goalkeeper, and we ended up speaking about size, and that size matters effectively. So, John, could you just briefly repeat what you said earlier about the height of a goalkeeper, and what is sort of the, from your point of view and your experience, the perfect sort of height, and for what reason?
Yeah, definitely for the way Liverpool and my philosophy is. I like the goalkeeper between 188 and 194, 195, because then they are most of the times mobile, reactive and quick. If they go over 195, there's not many goalkeepers. I can only actually name one who actually is pretty mobile, and that's Courtois at Madrid. But all the others over 195, they are all more robotic, if you like, in movement, which means you're losing a little bit speed. Reactions, quickness when you need to move the ball, the touch takes a little bit longer. So all these kind of things, and that's why I would, you know, if someone told me, oh yeah, there's a goalkeeper here, he isn't 198, and then the first thing is already what I think, but I would still watch it, because you know, you would never want to miss out. But I actually could write the report 90% already out, like he would be not mobile enough, and that always, if you look at it, it shows, you know.
How tall is Ali again?
Ali is 194,
so right on the top of your spectrum. Fascinating. I mean, I never thought about it like this. Yeah. James,
that's the technical part of football in a minute, but not just technical, but seeing it for what it is, and that's intrigued me there.
Yeah, but. You know, like I go now to Saudi, obviously the people are not that tall, so I have to rejig a little bit the scenario. Obviously, it's less physical than England, I guess, so I probably have to go a little bit slower, because lower in height, because there's not too many goalkeepers between 185 and 190, so it's all between 188 and 180, so...
But then one of your first jobs then is to, without, I'm not just saying the goalkeeper might be a really good goalkeeper, is to go out and look to enhance, you know, a goalkeeper, and get someone in who might come in and might take over the first place or whatever, that fits your bill.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually look for a goalie who is still mobile and can play, because he like to play from the back. So that is my priority, to look at, okay, does he move well? Mm. You know, is his decision making pretty good? Can he play with his feet? And
yeah,
if he is, then 183 or 184, that
it's a bonus.
Yeah. And who is willing to come to Saudi as well? I mean, it's a,
yeah, but
if he's not already local.
I think the money there, so I think there's some concessions there, won't
they? We're looking to sign a European one as a number one goalie.
Yeah.
So then obviously you can still look in any range in that. And then, yeah, the Saudi goalkeepers are a bit smaller in height. So I've been looking to all that to try and find some.
And the lab of goalkeeping academy already in place, Steve, will have had that already. Yeah?
Yeah, they have an academy there. So
goalkeepers as well.
Yeah, so I like to set that up, really. And, yeah, and I help the coaches as well, like, and hopefully they open for it. Because, you know, I don't want to go in as being the wise guy and stuff. I just try to explain how I would work and how you can develop goalkeepers. Because there's also a lot of coaches who are doing, like, fancy exercises, but actually has no benefit to help the goalie. You know, you see someone smash tennis balls or whatever, you know, do what is needed to be a goalkeeper. You know, it's like a brain training. You know, if you smash, there's nothing tactical or technical there to help the goalkeeper.
Like we used to do with Eric Nixon.
Yeah, actually, Eric was to start a good goalie coach.
Very good goalie.
You know, I did think he was good. He worked as hard, but obviously
he's old.
Yeah,
it's all about training.
No, and we will, because James is going to get us into a very, very exciting question for me, because this will all end up in John telling us honestly how it is to work for someone like him. So James, take us away.
John, in terms of your journey to this point, it's fair to say Aldo had an important part to play. Yeah. Brought you over from Holland in 1998 when he was manager at Tranmere. Yeah. How did that move come about?
I mean, I had a bad injury in Holland. I was playing, I was in a Premier League team and I wanted to be the number one. So obviously Postman came in. I moved to the second division to be a number one to play. And then I was there and I thought, after fucking 2 months, I thought, fuck, I need to get away here. That's fucking shit, the level in training. It was like amateur. And I you know, obviously we had a good team at NEC. You know, we were like 6th, 7th in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. So there was quality players. Van Hooijdonk was the striker at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So and then come there, and then you see how I didn't like the professionalism, the way they trained, the intensity. So it got me frustrated, but you know, I was number one, so I wanted to play. So I actually pretty quick said to them, there's one thing for sure, I won't resign here my contract. I want to go. But Utrecht wanted to sign me back as a number one or two then, but they asked too much money. But soon after that, I got injured. That was in my last year from the two. I got injured, so I was really injured from January till the end of the season.
Was that with your knee?
No, it was my groin. I pulled with kicking the muscle from the, you know, you have this bone, pull the bone off with the muscle, so they had to repair it on the side. So I was getting fit in the preseason. First, I started in the second division, the team, and then with Go Adrians at Willem II, where Sami Hyypiä was actually playing at that time. So I went there and I was really fit, and obviously, but I needed still a club in Holland. How it works is in February, all the clubs signed the players for the next year, February, March. But in England, obviously, they are late. They actually do it in the pre-season. They're still signing players, where in Holland, everything is sorted already. So I had no club, because in Holland, everything is full, and I was not fit at the time when everyone sorted things out. So then, obviously, I think Speedy was involved. I think David Speedy. And
he might have been the agent at the time. He was in, a friend of mine, that's right.
Yeah, he was an agent involved.
And
Carl van Buurik, who was the Dutch guy, I was playing with his son, and they have an agency, and I played with his son at NEC. So they organized a trial at Tranmere. Before they were like negative, yeah, it's not a nice area and stuff like that. And when I came here, I thought, fucking hell, it's all good.
Yeah,
but obviously John was the manager.
So what was he? What was he like to play
exactly.
for?
Exactly. Come on, John.
The way
no, John. It's your time to shut up now.
Don't hold back.
This is it. This is the big moment. I know how it is to try and organize this podcast with him. It's a bloody nightmare. Yeah. So how was it for you?
Now, for me, first of all, although was a legend, obviously.
Was he?
Allegedly.
Sheedy, obviously, was a big name. And Neville was the goalie coach in the first year.
Yeah.
Neville Souter was the goalie coach in the first year. So.
Don't get much better than Neville.
No. Yeah, so, you know, and then I come there. So I was fucking fit like crazy because we worked so high at intensity at Willem II. And, you know, so... But it was a bit, I need to get used to the five-a-side because it's chaotic. In Holland, you play from positional, and here everyone was running and stuff. But I played a few friendly league games, I think. Well, it was two games. I played Wolves away and Grimsby at home.
The Wolves game we lost 2-0?
0-0. I saved one penalty.
Nice.
Ooh. I forgot that.
How could you? Yeah.
And the Grimsby at home, we drew 0-0 and I saved a penalty too.
Serious?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember.
No, but what you might still remember. So we drew 0-0. But this guy, they had a big guy up front and he was chasing me like crazy. So 100 miles an hour. So I just take him out and pass the ball. I did it two times in the game. So the next, so I had 2 weeks and I did pretty well. So I think the day before, and I killed Gary Jones in the training, high ball come in and I shouted and I go, fuck. And he was gone. Yeah, fuck, and strong guy as well. Yeah. And it was a decent player. So Aldo had a chat with me and said, you know, I like you and I really want you to get you here, but there's one thing. He said, I never want to see you doing when you get the back pass to take the play out, just kicking as far as you want.
Put the shit on my don't forget them days you didn't play up the back. You just launch to the wingers or whatever.
Any more juicy gossip about John back then? Yeah. Come on, John.
Was he more an arm around the shoulder type in the dressing room or a rocket up the backside?
No, but I have to say, and when he was the manager, we had some good players we had probably when I started we had probably. I think we had like 20 players who could all play, 22 players. Yeah. We had a good level at that time. Yeah.
Good reserve team.
Yeah. And
so they carried John, basically.
Obviously, if it didn't go well, he come in the halftime and fucking wiped everyone. And I think he kicked the boot one time, broke his toe with it.
Did you?
Yeah, we played St. Patrick's Athletic. In pre-season friendly in Dublin, and at half time I think we got beat 1-0. They played very well. We were shite. But I got in half time and I've gone. They're part timers. He's an electrician. He's a gas fitter. He plays Gaelic. I said, "You's fucking shite." And I've gone like that. And I booted this. No, the skip.
They put the kit in, yeah.
Yeah, but it's empty, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But this one was full of boots. And a proper boot of it. And I've gone like that and I've gone into, yeah, sort yourself out. Yeah, yeah. And I said to the physio, I've just broke my toe. Then the lads just started pissing themselves. Yeah, I broke my toe, my big toe. Yeah.
So while we are reminding John of all of his dark days.
We need to get this one as well.
Go for it, come on. We've got time. I'll honor another
We spoke about it a few weeks ago. We played Portsmouth away.
Oh.
I think it was in the curb.
Was?
Yeah, and I come out the box and the
half time, was it?
Yeah, the guy closed the ball. and I hit it, but hit the guy, come to the half end, but because I was on the left outside box, they shoot and scored 1-0 down. But he come in half time and he goes crazy, fucking shouting everyone. And he said to Mickey Mellier and Kenny Ayers, and you both are fucking shouting, can you tell the rest of the story?
I said, two of you should come off now. I said, but I'm only taking one of you off. And I went, I got a coin, I went, heads or tails, Kenny Hines. And he goes like that. And he said, heads, and went, tails. He said, can we have best of three? Well, we will. I just used to do mad things. You know what I mean?
But you know, there was like a good atmosphere.
Yeah, the great lads.
He was aggressive in his manner, but he also got the team going. And I learned of that. And you know, I think if the manager is a little bit, and Klopp had that know as well on the sideline, he fired the players on.
Yeah.
And then you think, fucking hell, I don't want to be looking a fool on the goal or on the player. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to show, and you learn to fight more. And I think that is a learning thing from that.
Yeah.
You know, it not work every time, but it does work.
You've got to pick the right time. Yeah. I mean, like, but there's also times that people didn't realize, you know, your management skill. I wasn't a great tactician. I was all right. I wasn't a coach. I was a motivator more than anything.
Yeah.
But there were certain lads, young lads in particular, that there was times then, you know, you had to pull them in the office. You know what I mean? And put your arm around them, you know, a couple in particular with Jerry McLaughlin, to make sure, you know, things are going right outside the football and all that. But then you've got to be fair with your players. You've got to be absolutely 100%. And it's only your opinion. They might not agree yet that they're not playing well, but you know, you have to be that way 100%. But the lads, one thing I'll say to the lads when I was a Tranmere man, every single one of them went through a brick wall for me.
Yeah.
No shying away. They were all together. We were all as one. I love the lads.
11 years in the end at Tranmere. Yeah. Some famous famous wins, FA Cup against Everton and Southampton, but also there was sticking the boot into Aldo again here a little bit. 2000 League Cup final against Leicester, where someone else was chosen to stand between the sticks instead. So what was the rationale there?
That was actually the hardest decision of my management career, other than picking a side to play against Liverpool in the quarterfinals, which was long. Now, I can't remember because my memory is not what it used to be, but we got to the final and did Joe play in the semis?
No, I play in the semi. I make two unbelievable saves. So. Bolton away.
Such a lying twat.
Bolton away. So first half one on the post, second half, just before the end, close range, had a...
I've seen the replays on VHS.
No, but we won 1-0, but also we had one 100% goal disallowed from Alan Mann. We should have won 2-0
at Bolton,
and then in the home game I could have had a cigar and I didn't do nothing.
We absolutely battered them. Killed them.
And you remember they refused to change in our changing room, though.
Yeah, following game. That was a massive game for us.
Yeah.
You know, that was a huge game, the semi final. Obviously, to get to Wembley, I'm just going off the point a little bit. But one thing I did when we beat them 1-0 at their place, we were brilliant, and John played really well. 1-0 could have been 2-0. But I got someone to get me all the Bolton evening newspapers, whatever it was, the Bolton Echo, whatever it was. And I read what the players and Sam said after the game. And I was a little bit derogatory to us. You know, they didn't accept that they were well beaten. And I thought, so I picked up different things of a couple of players said, the goalie in particular, and Sam and a couple of others. So when we got to the home game a week later, we're 1-0 up. I went in and I give the team. I got placards made by our physio, Paddy. Put the placards up around there of what they'd said, and I said, "There's the team. I've really got no comment, no team talk." I said, "Just after we played so well last week, that's what you know." Sam said, "That's what he said. That's what he said." I said, "Lads, it's up to you." And then I went out. We turned a look after
10-20 minutes.
brilliant. I don't think John had that.
No, nothing.
Nothing to it. Johnson had one chance. But then getting to the final.
You dropped him.
I thought, you know, again, my memory's not very good now.
He's the Joe Biden of all the weeks.
Why? Did you get injured and then Joe come in before the final?
Joe was out injured for 6 weeks.
And then
and the week before, he come back and I think he put him in the West Ham FA Cup. And then
we beat West Ham 1-0, didn't we?
Oh, we lost that. Did we not lose that one?
We beat them 1-0 in the FA Cup, Emery scored.
Oh, I thought we lose 3-0 and then and then the final. But it doesn't matter.
But you know, it wasn't just me because what I used to do when you get certain times and you're not sure. So you'd get your staff around the table and you talk to your staff and say, you're not sure. So sometimes I say, what would you do? What would you do? So it wasn't just me, John. Yeah. John, honestly.
No, it's all good.
I'm just shifting the blame. But I tell you one thing, just to go on, because we had some great cup runs and we were unbelievable in the cups. Amazing. We just couldn't replicate it in the league. Put so much into the cup games. We could, on the Saturday, teams seeing us as a big scalp.
Yeah.
I think, to come on that,
the problem was, every year we lose a few players already.
We had to sell to survive.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you had in, because I think that year when we had the final, we also got relegation in the end, no? That was the same year.
Yeah, it was.
Because we played in the League Cup and the
FA Cup.
So we were like 4 or 5 games behind, but you could not have fresh legs because it was every and you know the championship you have to be on it every week and they had one game and we had fucking every week three games and
good shout
that was not to do if you look back on that we had no chance we had no big enough squad to cope with that
because they're great lads honestly great lads John you know I'm sorry, John.
No,
have you forgiven him?
No, because we lost the final 2-0. To be
2-1,
fair.
2-1,
2-1, yeah. We got back into it with 10 men, didn't we? We scored. They scored off 2 corners and all, which made it.
Well, glad I didn't make that awkward at all this session. So there you go. Over to James for the next one.
I you know, if you want to play the final, of course, and I was there, but the mind was not there because you want to play. Even if I would have played 5 minutes, for everyone in the world, it's a dream to play on Wembley for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so on that side, it was hard, but you know, it's also football. You have to deal with setbacks. I always did, and you know, in the career when I was a Tranmere, sometimes I got out of the team, and then I always kept fighting because I thought, okay, I show the manager that I want to be back in, and then I always came back in.
Did you play against Everton when we beat Everton? Yeah. When we beat them 3-0?
Yeah.
What about when we played Liverpool?
Also. 4-2.
So you let 4 goals in against Liverpool. See, I couldn't trust it. She always wanted to work for Liverpool.
Actually, there's some fucking great moments in that game, you know.
Go ahead.
I came out the box and it took, I think, 2 times. I did it again. I cried 2 times. 2 times a player running at me from Liverpool. I don't
know. Because they played with Robbie up front and Michael Owen. I
think it was Robbie 2 times. Like.
Robbie. John Ockerman.
Sorry. No. I just, he chased me down and I took him inside and then played 2 times.
And I'm like that on the side.
But I also came outside the box, make a sliding tackle on the circle when they played the ball through and things like that.
Well, Robbie is on the podcast in a couple of weeks, so we are going to make sure how he remembers
he won't remember, but
James. And then John, obviously then you make the move into coaching and then suddenly you're on the other side of it, you're involved in having to make difficult decisions as part of a staff. I guess Pepe Reina would have been number one, wouldn't he, when you first made the step up to Melwood. What was Pepe like to work with?
Yeah, he's a great guy, no? And he had a great career, you know, unbelievable what he did.
Into his 40s, he played, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think he still wants to carry on playing as well. So I actually texted him a week ago.
Did you text him fancy Saudi Arabia?
No, we were just talking about things. And But Reina was a really good guy. you know, distribution was, you know, but one of the best at the time in the world as well, no, with the throwing and
throwing was great, man.
And the side volley. But the poncing, if he came for a ponce, he could fucking punch the ball on the halfway line, crazy, you know. But, you know, he was a bubbly character. I think the problem was the club wanted to change because he was really expensive in the wages.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they tried to change over. And that's what happened, basically. So.
Yeah. And then, of course, Simon Mignolet comes in as number one. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, I can say that anyway. We wanted the want to change and they want a new goalie. So obviously you're looking at goalies and stuff. And the rule I was told we don't want to get one outside the UK because a lot of the goalies coming inside they fail. You know, so they wanted a goalie inside England and in the UK. And it has to be below 25 because that is,
yeah.
So there was three choices. There was Bergovic, Simon Mignolet, and Tim Krul. So it could have been easy for me to say, I take Tim Krul because I'm Dutch and he is Dutch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I looked at each three goalkeepers and on to the day today, I think Simon was the best out of the three. And you know, Bergovic, I said already why I would not took him because
height
and yeah, mobility. Krul was that, but he was a lot parrying balls and technical, make a lot of mistakes. So, you know, I said, Simon, you know, obviously Sunderland plays a lot of long balls, but we can improve the playing, and he definitely improved it. I know he has a bad reputation from playing with the feet. But
I don't think he got the reputation what he deserved. I thought he was a good keeper.
Yeah, I think...
Like all keepers make mistakes, but
I think, and although you're right, he was also a really good shot stopper, top professional.
Yeah.
The young goalies, they learned from him, you know, how professional in the gym, what he eat, what he did. But you know, I got also a lot of criticism in that period. And I always said to the people, I said, yeah, I said, now you tell me how many, in 5 seconds, how many big clubs are there in the world? I said, in 5 seconds, you can give me 10 with no doubt. But can you now give me also 10 top goalkeepers in 5 seconds? You cannot name
impossible.
Them. Mm. You can up until today not give them, you know. If
well, FIFA can, but you know,
hey, that's good for you, Pete.
Not bad. No?
But then forgot Ali about it, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, around that time, social media is getting big as well. There was a period when, you know, if a Liverpool goalie made a mistake, people would blame you.
How did
you deal with that?
I'm pretty calm with it because you know, I always had the belief what I do is the right thing. You know, I look at what they need to improve individual, make the sessions, make them what happens, prepare them what the opponent also. So I brain training what they can expect. Obviously, decision maker on the field, I cannot always control because the goalie need to make decision. Do I kick the ball long? Do I come out? Do I stay? Things like that. So, but you can manufacture, okay, City put a lot low crosses in behind. So we practicing low crosses in behind next to the physical training we do. I got death threats or saying basically,
that was before Loris Carrius.
Huh?
That was before Loris Carrius.
That was in that period, yeah.
That's from
if you don't leave, you kill your family. I stay calm with that.
That's from not from Liverpool. That's people pretending to Liverpool.
What was that like on social media, Instagram messages and stuff?
Yeah. But you know, I always stay calm. And if people came in town on the night out to talk about it, I always stay calm, you know, because. Liverpool has like 500 million supporters, so everyone has his opinion, and you know, you have to be humble and respect everyone's opinion as well. No, and you have to deal with it. If you want to work here, you have to deal with criticism and you have to
work. Did you ever report those threats to the police or anything?
No, I just deleted. I showed my neighbor. I said, yes.
And John, then talking about people who get shit on social media, Jürgen Klopp brought in Loris Karius from his previous club, Mainz. Obviously, it seemed like he never quite got to where everybody thought he might be able to get to. I'm sure Jürgen thought he might be able to get to. Do you have any idea why that is? Even before that Champions League final, just why do you think he didn't fulfill his potential?
He had one good season in Mainz, of course, and he did well because I watched all the games and he moved the way we want to play and stuff, and he can play. You don't know how the person is day in, day out, how he trains and stuff. And, you know, and don't forget we had Danny Ward as well.
Yeah, sure.
And Danny, obviously, is Wales' number one still, but he was as good actually as Sai and Karius. And I had a few talks with him about it, you know, because obviously, you know, in the end, Minelet got us to the Champions League. In the last day of the season, Stoke away, he made, I think, 3-4 saves, and we scraped through the Champions League. And Karius was out of the team then, because he trained like he played. It was like this, you know. And if you are difficult, you have to be all the time like that. So that was his problem really, but that was in training the same. So, and I said that to him. I said, listen, Loris, you know, you can be sulking, but if you one day train here and one day there and one day here and one day there, then
it's not good enough.
You get caught. You know, it's not just me who sees that. It's the manager. It's all the players. Everyone sees that. And that's what comes back, you know. And if you, you see that then back in the games as well, can have a good game there. And that's basically
what happened in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, and
so it's a story, basically.
I think he probably realized that as well, and you know,
he's relatively young in goalkeeper terms, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Considering that's no excuse sometimes.
Yeah,
and still managed to get back onto the bench at Newcastle recently. So that's
he done all right in the final. In the final because Pope was injured. So
And you think goalkeepers are good poker players?
It depends if they can make a career of it. But we did a bit poker in the bus, no?
We used to love the Al Poker coming back.
Because I know when Emery was still here, there was it was still Lucas and Coutinho, I think, inviting to one of the houses. There was a poker tournament of the players.
I was not invited there.
You were not invited. Well, you will be pleased to know the two goalies made the final. They were the final. They ended up playing against each other.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if that's a goalkeeper thing to hold your nerve and to...
We had a poker... school there.
Is every time we came back after the game at Tranmere, did me, you, Ned won it.
And Big Chief, no?
And the Chief,
Chief was the main sponsor.
The main sponsor. You never won. Come to that.
We had
some great chiefs. But get after the game, sometimes we might have lost, but you know, get it out of your head. A good game. It wasn't big money, but you know, it was all the Chiefs' money anyway. So this is the Aldo podcast with my mate Peter, my mate James, and my mate John. Welcome back to the Aldo Meets final part in conjunction with the Hotel Anfield. The real game changer, John, was Alisson. Obviously, we've gone through a little bit of a stage, you know, after the Karius incident and all that. We weren't sure about the goalkeeping side of the club. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get this goalkeeper, which, to be honest, we didn't really know an awful lot about. We knew he was a really good keeper. What he was doing was good. But then obviously, you know, you get him at the club. And that was so instrumental to where we are at the moment.
Yeah, it's also a big process because it's not only me who obviously decide in the end. The owner has to put the money in. The boss need to agree to it. But how it...
We just sold... is it Coutinho?
Yeah, Coutinho.
The money was there, you know. Yeah.
Virgil had come in Virgil 6 months come, before.
And he was probably, you know, the spine. He was the next one we had to get.
The final piece.
So the money was there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it?
I'll tell you. I think that's fair to say anyway. So it takes a bit of time. But first of all, obviously, as I was with a few of the club in there, and I think Dave Fallows or Barry Hunter, maybe, mm-hmm. we went to Florence to speak about Neto, obviously, when he went to Juve. We speak to Stefano, that was Neto's agent at the time, but then he said, you know, I have another good goalie, it's Alisson. So I said, yeah, I know him. I said, I like him. I said, but we cannot get him because he has no EU passport. He was at international then, but I knew him because of Donny, because obviously, and I actually met Donny at the Brazil training. I was in USA and I met Donny there. So we stay regularly in contact, because his brother's an agent and I think he wants to do something, but sometimes he give me, say, oh, you like this goal, you have to look. And you know, if I like it, I pass it on. Obviously, we not always take it, but I would never, because people, a lot of goalies get offered, and I always say what I think. It's not like, this agent or that agent, I turned a goalie maybe 10 times down, and every year he got offered to me. I said, no, because he's not better than what I have, so why should I, you know? He said, yeah, Donny said to me, have a look at international. There's a young goalie in Brazil. Everyone likes him. So that was 2013. And then I started looking and I liked it. And then I keep following it. So then obviously that came in the talk. He was still at the international. And I said, you know, we can't do nothing because of that. So then the year after he moved to Rome. But he moved to Rome as the number two because they had Chesney on loan from Arsenal. Mm-hmm. So I watched every game he played because he played in the cup games. I watched every game. And then in the preseason, we played in St. Louis, I think it was, when the bottle rolled off. And the boss said about, oh, the goalie. I said, yeah, I told you about the goalie. I like him. And he played actually all right in that game as well. So, yeah, the boss obviously is aware of it, that I like him and know it and stuff. And then, obviously, the year after he became the number one at Rome, Chesney go to Juve. So I keep watching every game. Like if I like the goalie, I always watch it. You know, not every week, but if I really like the goalie, I would pretty much watch every game. And then there is a goalkeepers who I think are all right. So I watch them every 2 months, one game, and I try to pick the good game, you know, where I think, oh, he's getting really tested. And then, you know, you have a list and stuff with number one, number two, and number three goalies and young goalies below 21 who I then like. In January, obviously the boss, we had Karius and Simon, and the boss want to change really. Probably, so we looked at it again. So we got Stefano came actually to Melwood. So we speak about it. That was in January, and you know, obviously, yeah. I told him about, yeah, that I like him, and obviously I thought maybe one or two things we can improve and stuff like that. So end of the season, obviously the final happened. But we go in the preseason, with the same goalies. Obviously, Coutinho money was then. We wanted to sign, if I'm correct,
Fekir.
Yeah. But that meant that if they must have made a decision, they want to go for Fekir. And if they would have got Fekir, then there was no money to get Ali.
Mm.
So that's for sure the case, because then Van Dijk had half the money and Fekir got the other half of the money, and there was no money to get a goalie. So we went in the preseason, and the first was Chester away. And I basically passed the ball straight to Karius. He tried to scoop it up. It goes through his hands, through his legs, in the goal, in the warm up.
It was filmed, wasn't it? When it went that, all over it, social media.
Yeah, remember it, yeah.
So he got pretty much rinsed by the social media, and that probably could have affected him, I guess. And the next game we play Tranmere, he got a shot straight at him. He let so come off him,
game,
and,
yeah.
And they scored. And I think that was then the moment where Fekir failed the medical because of the knee. And then obviously the boss with the owners decide, okay, we need to get a new goalie because we cannot carry on like this.
Mm.
So I said then to the boss, I said, then you have to be really quick. I said, because if Courtois gets sold to Madrid, for sure Chelsea want to sign Ali. Because I had made a list, and I said, if we're going to spend money, and I sent that in the end of the season to the boss, if he's going to spend the money, I said, the only one I would spend the money on is Ali. I said, because, you know, people talk about Oblak. I think he's one, he cannot play with the feet. Two, he cannot play with the space, because Atletico only plays on their own half. He cannot, and you know, he's really good on the line, but we need more than just one who's standing on the line. And he is also 186, so that could also be a risk in the Premier League. So I said, that's the only one I would play the money for. Then obviously the club make a video, you know, the recruitment guys make a video. Obviously they will have a look at it. Michael Edwards was there probably, so he looked at it, and the boss and the coaches look at it, and then obviously
rest is history.
That's how it went, and then obviously the owners need to give the go ahead for it, and you know, that's how it works. So, you know, yeah,
that, and then the rest happened, including that late save against Napoli, which then led to a Champions League triumph, arguably. No world, no club World Cup, possibly no Premier League title. Yeah, after without it, you know, it's been a game changer, right?
Oh, big time. You know, without him, you know,
is he the best goalkeeper you've ever worked with?
Yeah, that's clear. No.
Yeah. No. Just asking.
And for the record, to be honest, Keller is crazy good too. Yeah. You know, if you see them in training, that level, you know, it's like a dream to work with. But.
And you got the other Brazilian younger kid.
Yeah, Marcelo.
I struggled with the surname.
Marcelo.
It's a league exception.
I mean, he is in good in the gameplay, but he needs to be more consistent. He was out in St. Patrick's, didn't do too well. The problem is a little bit the kicking that didn't improve enough. You know, he's good in the short play, but he find it difficult to find the half space. And scoff sometimes on the left foot, and that's still not improved well enough. But I think still he can make a good career. Mm. But I think he has 1 year left, so he probably will end up somewhere else.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I think he will, by playing, get to a good level as well.
And when you look back on all your time at Liverpool, what are you most proud about in terms of what was achieved?
15 years.
Yeah, you know, I have actually more enjoyment to have the goalies than win the prizes, if that makes sense. To get Keller from under 16 in to make it to the first team, you know, and to an extent Wardy did the same.
Yeah.
And I thought Wardy could have played more. The two games he actually played for the first team, he did well.
Who's that, John?
Danny Ward.
Yeah. Oh, Danny. Yeah.
You know, so I that was always the dream. And obviously, the goalie coach in the academy helped as well with the work. And, you know, I took them probably when they thought they were ready. You know, Grabara was fun as well. He's a good goalie.
Another Polish good goalie. I mean, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, Grabara, obviously, we sold, but, you know, he was a really good goalie, but he never wanted to be number two. He always was clear to me, I want to be number one. So, you know, and when I had them both as a competition.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, yeah.
I had to tell Keller at the first side, I said, you know, if I have to play Stoke tomorrow, Cuiv, then I will go with Grabara because he's physical ready. I said, but I also think you can overtake him because your speed and your reactions and your movement is so good. But at this moment, physical, you're not ready. Yeah. And inside the year, obviously, it changed. The year after, Keller go there, we sent Grabara on loan and he could make the steps to where he is now, and now he's going to Wolfsburg, so Liv will get some money for that still.
Fantastic.
So, but he was a really good mentality, but also really strong in his. He said one time, "I cannot see the difference between Ali and me in training."
That's confidence.
Yeah, you know. So I like a bit. He has that, but also if he made a mistake, it would not face him. So you know. But it's you know, people say you won everything. The players won everything. We were part to help, but the players on the field, they make in the end us winning something, no?
Yeah, of course.
And everyone around, the coaches, the supporters, they have the same part in helping with supporting.
No, I think that's a great point to make, because without your influence, we, you know, along with Jürgen and what we've done for the goalkeeper, we'd never got where we were.
Yeah,
you know, we'd fall flat in certain areas. So, so you're very well, widely fond.
Yeah,
you're fondly thought of from Liverpool families. Yeah, and the Tranmere family still. We can't forget Tranmere. Tranmere were still big Tranmere fans.
Actually,
obviously,
this was crazy. Yeah. You know, I go running this morning with my middle daughter, and. Obviously need to get fit, so I'm running in Morton.
You've done well to run on that knee after all the years. Yeah. You've been hobbling with it.
Yeah, 5k I managed. It's not perfect.
That's very good. Yeah.
5k, but it's not smooth if I run, but I keep the motor going. So this fan goes past me, blow his horn, and he stops like 50 meters further down. But obviously, it took another 5 minutes before I got there. So he comes out the van and he come over to me and said, "Hey John, I'm a big Liverpool supporter. I'm behind the goal always, and you know I want to just thank you for the great job you did. I mean, I'm a massive Tranmere fan." You know, and he started talking like 4 or 5 minutes. Give me a breather, by the way. But you know, that was really cool. Nice. It was really cool. Nice, no, and you know, that's
the appreciation. Isn't it?
That is actually more important to me than winning all the trophies. You know, that I do my passion and you know, helping creating goalkeepers. That is what.
Well, I mean, judging by the sentiment on social media when you announced not just your retirement from Liverpool, so to speak, but then moving to Saudi, it's been completely positive. Mm. I have been looking, absolutely. I've been scrolling down to look for someone to pick a fight with you about your next destination. There wasn't anybody. And I think that's down to you as a personality and how much people value you.
Absolutely.
So fair play.
But you've got to wait now till he's finished on the quiz.
Oh, sorry, yeah. That's true, John. It can all fall away.
You can all fall off the cliff now.
I'm not prepared for any quiz.
We always do it.
Good luck with that. So
we always do an Aldo quiz. Famous Aldo podcast quiz.
Shit.
And it's 6 questions, John. Do you know why it's 6 questions?
Yeah.
Do you know why it's
6 trophies.
Six big ones.
Yeah.
Six. Big year ones, you know what I mean?
That's the only one in England.
Absolutely.
And we are top of the league from trophies, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
From everyone
in
England, no? Well, that was...
The United fans won, but they haven't got it.
But that's how I actually... you know, when you're then in Liverpool, that's how you do look, you know?
Yeah, of course.
You want to add one more on that. You want to add one on that. And you want to be putting the gap bigger.
That's it.
And hope that all the trophies get taken away from the others who
I mean,
who
as long as
them.
United has Ten Hag in charge, we should be all right from that perspective.
All got a suck, kids.
They can have the next one. Right, come on.
Right, John.
Right. Quiz.
James, I'm going to give you the quiz. Six questions, mate. You know, 5 out of 6 is the best.
That's the record, yeah.
That was
there's Lucas no chance one. For me.
Is that Lucas?
Lucas, I think so. Lucas was very good.
Yeah, right. Number one, John. Which Liverpool goalkeeper has kept the most clean sheets in the club's history?
Reina.
Who?
Reina.
Ray Clements.
Oh. All right, John. That was a fucking set. It's gone right through your fucking legs.
In the Premier League. In the Premier League, it's Reina, no?
Yeah, in the Premier League. Yeah, that won the question.
I didn't listen to the question.
James,
be more specific. I keep saying
the most clean sheets in the club's history. That is quite specific.
It is pretty specific.
It's God rest his soul. What a great, great man he was.
Number two. From which Irish club did Liverpool sign Craveen Kelleher?
Cork. United or
Ranmer? Oh, here we are. Rangers.
Just about.
Cork based.
Wow, that was close. Okay, 1.5 so far.
When Alisson scored that famous header against West Brom in 2021, who provided the assist?
The one who took the corner.
Correct.
And John did, because John told him to get up there, didn't you?
You get half the assist. You got the other half of the assist. Who whipped it in?
Oh, come on, John.
He's famous for taking corners.
It wasn't Robbo.
Quickly.
Milner.
Quickly. Corners quickly, John.
He likes a trend.
We'll give you that one.
Two and a half out of three.
Jesus, we're being challenged today.
Alisson is still the third most expensive signing Liverpool have ever made. Who's just behind him in fourth place?
Oh, fourth place.
It's tough, quite tough on that.
Last transfer period.
Yeah.
Let's play. So you've got Nunes, Virgil, Alisson, and Szoboszlai. This one's tricky. Who played more games for Liverpool, Brad Jones or Adrian?
Oh, that's fucking...
It's very close.
50-50.
Yeah, it's 50-50.
One at 27, one at 26.
Yeah.
So it's just 50. You've got to toss up a coin. Best out of three.
Yes. Brad Jones.
Correct.
Yes. You know what I mean? He's been there longer. He was... Yeah. Closer to the number.
4.5.
Right.
Yeah. If you get this one right, you're actually very charitable.
You're hitting the top of the leaderboard if you get this. Mm. So, right. After Ray Clements, Bruce Grobbelaar, and Eliza Scott, who is fourth in the club's all-time appearance list of goalkeepers? That's all-time appearances in all competitions. So you got Ray Clements, Grobbelaar, Eliza Scott, and who's fourth?
The flying pig, no.
Tommy Lawrence?
Yeah.
No.
Pepe Reina?
Yeah. I thought it was between them two.
Yeah, right? I think it was.
Yeah. Four and a half is respectable.
Well done.
Very good, mate.
I would have gone for nil, because I'm bad in quizzes.
Anyway, thank everyone for listening. You haven't listened yet, but when you listen, on behalf of me, Peter, Ota Lanfield, and all the sponsors, let's not forget, James, John, Star. Great to see you.
Wanted to see you again.
Great to see you, mate.
John, good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. John,
thanks a lot.
We're going over to see you then. We're going to Bahrain now.
Yeah, we will.
We'll be there doing a podcast.
We can have a pint there. You can in Bahrain.
Yeah.
That's why we go to Bahrain and not to Saudi. All the best.
Yeah, cheers, everyone.
Lovely.